Today I do want to bring a message from God's Word that I'm calling Never Forget Hope. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. I can remember that when my wife and I went to New York City for our 25th wedding anniversary, the year was 1999. And we had a great time. It was before iPhones with Google Maps, and so we had our own big, huge map we were unfolding. Of course, we looked like tourists, finding our way all around all parts of Manhattan. And of course, we never lost sight of those two tall towers. You always knew where you were because you could see those two tall towers. And finally, we made it to where the World Trade Tower stood. And I can remember standing at the foot of it, like maybe some of you have in the past, and just looking straight up and thinking, I don't even know if I can even see the top of this thing. When it was built in 1971, it was the largest building in the world, 110 stories, until 2 years later, the Sears Tower was built in Chicago. The next time I was at that site that we just saw was 2008, when our celebration choir and orchestra took a mission trip to Manhattan. And there, as I visited the scene of Ground Zero, with no construction going on at that day, it was eerie and it was quiet. I told someone it was almost as if I was standing on holy ground. And as I said on the video, when I spoke on this event exactly 10 years ago, Richie put a little bit of that on there, but I have exactly what I said 10 years ago after 9/11. I said, we will never again be the same after the attack against our nation. Like the pictures of the burning ships in Pearl Harbor or the video of the space shuttle Challenger exploding into smoke, the scene of civilian jets slamming into the World Trade Towers will be forever engraved upon our collective minds. Who can forget the sight of those two massive twin towers crumbling to the earth? And all this destruction is the result of the religious hatred of a few murderous Muslim fanatics. Never have so few created so much chaos and pain as did those 19 terrorists. America has been knocked down, but don't count her out yet. The terrorists have only stirred up a hornet's nest of righteous indignation. And like our Lord Jesus, who suffered unimaginable pain and agony, I believe our nation will experience a resurrection of hope and a rebirth of godly moral values. If we seek God's face, I am convinced we will rise from the ashes and will once again stand as one nation under God. And 10 years later, I still believe every word I said. And the fact that God has protected us with the help of those who are protecting us from another major terrorist attack is reason for us to pause right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us. Because there have been many attempts. Plots have been discovered and foiled, but we have been protected to this day. You know, the Lord Jesus knew a little bit about destructive people, evil people, wicked people. And he said, you know, here's how you can tell the difference. In fact, I call your attention to this verse of Scripture, John chapter 10, verse 7. And at Green Acres, we like to stand in honor of God's Word as we read it because we believe it is a holy Bible, different than reading a magazine or a newspaper. John 10, verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, pointing to himself, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. And whoever enters through me, Jesus said, will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Now he tells us how you can tell the difference between the false prophets and a true prophet. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it to the full. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that we can still experience the fullness of life because of you. And even though there are mean, wicked people in this world who are still stealing, killing, and destroying, we thank God for your life that you continue to give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks, be seated. I've got to be honest with you. We've been planning this service for almost a year, the details of it. And I tried to bring in from New York City a survivor from the World Trade Center. We had lots of contacts with business people there and things like that. And I'm pretty persistent, and so is Mike Parks, and we can usually find somebody to come and speak at something like this. But you know what we discovered after person after person after person after person said, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. What we discovered is that hardly any of those survivors even want to talk about it. Fewer of them want to stand up in front of a stage and talk about it. That's how traumatic it was for them. 10 years later, what do we know? The theme of our service is never forget hope. Let me just share with you three things that we should never forget, and this will give us hope. Well, number one, never forget that our enemy is clear about their identity and their goal. They've never tried to hide who they were, and we need to know what their goal is. Now, many of the remarks that I have made and are making today are not politically correct. And I get in trouble for a lot of the things that I say because I speak the truth. And somebody asked me, what do you do about all that flack you catch for what you say? And my reply was, I don't catch any of it. I just let it slide off. Plenty of it comes my way. But you cannot deny the fact that the whole motivation behind the 9/11 attacks was religion. Not just any religion, not Judaism, not Buddhism, not Hinduism, not Scientology. It was Islam. Radical Islam. One of the smartest men in America is our friend Jim Dennison, considered to have one of the best minds in America, has just written a book. It's just out. It's called Radical Islam. What you need to know. Why do they still hate us? Spiritual implications of the war on terror. This book is just out, and we have it on display today, along with my book, 10 Requirements for America's Survival. Both of them today are on sale for $10 each. That's way below the price. But I encourage every person to buy Jim Dennison's book and learn the truth about radical Islam. Now, folks, maybe we sometimes live in a little vacuum. Sometimes we maybe are a little bit like the ostrich with the head in the sand. But we should never have been surprised on 9/11. You know why? Because radical Muslims have been at work killing, stealing, and destroying for decades. Just go back with me in your mind. The first worldwide terrorist attack was in 1972 at the Munich Olympics, where members of the Palestinian Liberation Organization killed 20. And then in 1983, Al-Qaeda bombed the Marine Barracks in Lebanon, killing 299 soldiers in 1993. Did you know there was another bomb at the World Trade Center? It was meant to make the towers fall. It failed, but six people died. 1996, there was a bombing at the U.S. Barracks in Saudi Arabia. 20 American soldiers were killed. In 1998, simultaneously, the embassies, U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed. 223 were killed. The year 2000, the bombing of the USS Cole, 17 were killed. And then, of course, was 9/11. And so this was not something that just suddenly happened. And you know what? It's not something that stopped either. Even though we have been spared on our shores, it has not stopped. What's happened after 9/11 in 2002? They attacked in Bali, 202 people were killed. In 2003, there was a bomb attack in Casablanca, 33 were killed. 2003, in Istanbul, 50 were killed. In 2004, bombs were planted on trains in Madrid, Spain, and 170 were killed. 2005, you remember the bombs were on the London subways, 37 were killed. 2010, Moscow train was attacked and bombed, and 39 were killed. So it's not something they just started doing 9/11, and it's not something they stopped doing after 9/11. It continues. And you say, Pastor, you're trying to tell us this to scare us? Oh, not at all. I'm here to tell you, let's thank God and thank all of our soldiers and first responders that we are still safe to this day. And we do have a sense of security because of these great leaders we have. I just want to give you one little quote from Jim Dennison's book. What is it that these radical Muslims want? It's very clear. Their goal is very clear. And I just want to give you a quote from Jim's book, and then you can get and read it. Jim Dennison says, "This is an enemy unlike any we have ever fought. They do not follow a single Hitler that we can kill or defend a Berlin that we can capture. There is no one with whom we can negotiate a peace treaty. They seek a goal unlike any we have ever defended. Hitler sought to control Europe. By contrast, radical Muslims seek nothing less than the imposition of fundamentalist Islam on the entire world. Their theological inspiration, Sayyid Qutb, argued that true Islam does not exist unless Sharia, Muslim holy law, is the law of the land. Only when a nation submits to Sharia can its people then choose whether or not to become Muslims. Radical Muslims believe that imposing Sharia on every nation is therefore Islam's solemn duty. Jihadists are fighting for nothing less than global conquest." I mean, there you have it. That's what they're after. And we need to be aware of their identity, and we need to be aware of their goal. You say, "Now, Pastor, are you saying that all Muslims are bad and angry and fighting?" Oh, not at all. Seriously, there are many good, moderate Muslims who hate what the jihadists are doing. But the jihadists are at work all the time. And so we need to be aware of them, and that's why I encourage you to read this book and study about it. And you know, I agree with Robert Jeffries, my friend pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas, who got in a lot of trouble for saying this. But I believe that Islam is a false religion based upon a false book delivered by a false prophet. I do not believe that it is some nice, pure religion of peace. It's a false religion. I believe that. But when it comes to our relationship with Muslims, I mean, what do we do? Do we fight back? But we have people who are designated to do that. We have our military who's designated to do that. We have our peace officers who are designated to protect us. But individually, what is our response to Muslims? Listen to me. Now, don't miss what I'm about to say. Our response to Muslims is to love them and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Not to fear them, not to be mad at them, but to love them. I want to ask you a question. There's a verse over there in John 3:16 that says something like, "For God so loved the..." Except Muslims. No. "For God so loved the world." You know, I got to hear a missionary this past year who lives in a Muslim country. I can't tell you who he is or where he is. But he said for about the first 2 years of his ministry there, he was very, very frustrated. Because he said any time he entered into a conversation with a Muslim man, verbally he did like this. He said, as soon as they started talking, verbally, "Muhammad said this, well Jesus said this. The Quran says this, well, the Bible says this." And he just realized that every conversation he had with a Muslim was adversarial. And he said that God just broke his heart about that. And he said there was a change in his entire ministry when suddenly he started engaging these Muslim men like this. and just started talking to them and listening to them and, yes, even loving them. He said, it's amazing the difference. Folks, we need to know what Muslims believe. That's why it's good for what our adults are studying on Sunday morning, different kind of beliefs. But if you want to know more, listen, starting tonight at 5:30 on the third floor of the Lighthouse, there's a class, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. And it's a class that tells you what Muslims believe. And here's a little trivia for you. Who do you think is mentioned more times in the Quran, Muhammad or Jesus, who they call Isa? Jesus. Did you know Jesus is mentioned 5 times more often in the Quran than Muhammad is? Hey, another trivia here. Who's the only woman mentioned by name in all of the Quran? Mary, the Virgin Mary, mother of Jesus. Did you know Muslims believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary? Lived a sinless life. He's the greatest of all the prophets. He's just not the most recent. I mean, we already have some playing ground. There's some common ground now. And this course that we're starting tonight at 5:30 teaches you how to go from that common point to engage them and talk with them. And so if you have Muslim neighbors, love them. Invite them to your home. Engage them in conversation about what it is they believe. And I'm not saying we just elevate their religion right next to ours and say whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter what you believe. But here's what Jim Dennison also says. More Muslims have come to Christ in the last 10 years than all the previous hundreds of years of Muslim history. Do you hear that? More Muslims have converted to Christ in the last decade. I mean, they are seeing visions of dreams of Esau. And then they come seeking out somebody, said, explain this dream to me. So the opportunity is there. And so these militant Muslims, they're the enemy. But not all Muslims are militant Muslims. Well, there's two other things I want us to never forget. Number two, never forget that our freedom must be cherished and defended. Do you know when this came true in 9/11? When those passengers on United Flight 93, realizing by talking on cell phones and flight phones to their wives and others what was happening, and realizing that probably that jet was on its way back to Washington, now we know to be flown into the United States Capitol building. Knowing that chances were they were not going to survive, they made a tough choice, and they stormed the cockpit where the terrorists were at the controls of the airplane, and the terrorists drove the airplane into the ground. And there's a big hole there in Pennsylvania. And we ought to honor the memory of those brave men and women on that flight. And every time you look at the United States Capitol building, you should think of those brave Americans who cherished freedom enough that they were willing to take action. And you know what? That's what Americans have been doing, taking action. That's what our soldiers have been doing in Iraq and Afghanistan. Right now, it is a war. It is the longest war the United States has ever been involved in. But they are there defending our freedom. I tell you what else. You know what? You think you're ever going to be on a domestic airline flight again, and you think somebody's going to run toward the cockpit and not be tackled by everybody that's going to get him? Oh, it's been proven. You might remember this. 3 months after 9/11, everybody was still jittery, and that's when that man from England, Robert Reed, had the shoe bomb. That's why now we take off our shoes as we go through TSA lines. He had a shoe bomb, and as he was trying to light the shoe bomb on the plane, a flight attendant saw him, and then other passengers jumped him, and they confined him. And then, of course, he was arrested and charged, and he's in prison now, and he'll never see the light of day again. But the judge that sentenced him said something very strong about America. Because this Richard Reed had claimed to be a soldier of God. And this is what Judge William Young said to him when he sentenced him. He said, "We are not afraid of any of your terrorist co-conspirators, Mr. Reed. We are Americans. We've been through the fire before. There's all too much talk of war here. And I say that to everyone with the utmost respect. Here in this court, you are a terrorist. To call you a soldier gives you far too much stature. You're no warrior. I know warriors. You are a terrorist. The judge continued, "Know this, your cowardice cannot stand in the face of our resolve. Your evil has no chance against our prayers. What I have honestly, as I know how, tried to grapple with is why did you do something so horrific? I have an answer for you. It may not satisfy you. It seems to me that you hate the one thing that is most precious. You hate our freedom, our individual freedom. Our individual freedom to live as we choose, to come and go as we choose, to believe or not believe as we individually choose. Here in this society, the very winds carry freedom. They carry it everywhere from sea to shining sea. It is because we prize individual freedom so much that you are here in this beautiful courtroom. It is for freedom's sake that your lawyers are striving so vigorously on your behalf and have filed appeals, because we all know that the way we treat you, Mr. Reed, is the measure of our own liberties. See that flag, Mr. Reed? That's the flag of the United States of America. Those stars and the stripes spell freedom. That flag will fly here long after you are forgotten. That flag stands for freedom. You know it always will. Custody, Mr. Officer, stand him down." Great words from that judge. Never forget hope. But number three, never forget our God is faithful and in control. Our God is faithful and in control. Do you remember that rise in spiritual fervor after 9/11? I mean, we've got the statistics at Green Acres to show that for about 3 or 4 months after 9/11, I mean, church attendance peaked everywhere in the United States. But then what happened? People said, "Well, okay, we're not going to be attacked tomorrow. I'm just going to go on with my life." For instance, you know, do you remember the patriotic fervor after 9/11? For instance, they started singing at Yankee Stadium along with "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" on the seventh inning stretch. They started singing "God Bless America" as well. You remember when I told you I was in New York City last 2008? Went to Ground Zero, also went to Yankee Stadium. Boyhood dream of mine. Last season that Yankee Stadium had games. Seventh inning stretch. They start singing "God Bless America." And I stand up and I start singing it. And there is no one else. No one else around me singing "God Bless America." It's coming over the speakers. I didn't see another single person singing except me. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs. Somebody looked at me and said, "That's okay, I'm from Texas." Never forget that our God is faithful and in control. And we never need to forget that He's the reason we have been kept safe. He is the reason that we're so blessed as Americans. Let's never forget that. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 73, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God has carried us through to this point, and God will carry us through. Did you see at the end of Richie's video, the World Trade Center cross, which is now on permanent display at the 9/11 Museum, which opens today? I've showed it to you before, but maybe you don't know the story behind it. Frank Silicchia was one of those construction workers. And on the day after the towers fell, when he saw the cross, he basically fell to his knees. Let me just read to you what he said. "When I saw the cross, it was as if God was saying, I've never left you. I've been here all along. When I first touched the cross beam, I felt the power of the cross, not just this cross, but the cross. Terrorism is the devil's tool, but the cross is our tool. And I don't think, I know we'll win." In so many ways, America is stronger than ever before, but it comes But when it comes to humbling ourselves before God and honoring Him and recognizing Him, it's time again for all Americans to stand up and sing the prayer that says, God, would you bless America? Father, thank you for the truth of your word about how you are our shield and you are our defender. And Lord, we will never, ever forget that. And thank you for the hope that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.